Gamar Joba at San Francisco. This is TabilePod.com, the week in Georgia in English, coming to you from our lovely Presidio studios. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Today is Thursday, the 28th of November, 2013. On this date in 1520, Magellan reached the Pacific from the Atlantic, being the first to do so. 1814, the Times of London is printed by a German-made automatic steam press, which is the beginning of the availability of newspapers to a mass audience, culminating with me sitting here talking into this computer. 1893, New Zealand becomes the first country in which women vote in a national election. 1895, Duryea Motors wins the first car race in the United States, averaging just under 6 miles an hour. Their win makes them the number one car manufacturer in the U.S. The year following the win, they produce 13 cars. 1905, the Sinn Féin is founded. 1925, the Grand Ole Opry begins broadcasting from Nashville. 1943, Franklin Delano Roosevelt meets Churchill and Stalin for in the Tehran Conference. 1971, Wasfi Al-Tal, Prime Minister of Jordan, is assassinated by the Black September unit of the PLO. 1975, East Timor, or Timor-Leste, declares its independence from Portugal. 1989, Czechoslovakian Communist Party gives up its monopoly on political power. 1991, after its autonomous status is unilaterally ended by Georgia, South Ossetia declares independence. Birthdays today are William Blake, Frederick Engels, Gloria Graham, Randy Newman, Ed Harris, Alexander Gudinoff, and John Stewart. Today, it's just me, Mark Mullen. Thanks again for those posting on our forum. Quick comment about the links. There was a technical problem with the links the previous 8 or 10 weeks because of our automated approval system being messed up. Now that's been fixed. They should show up immediately after we podcast. Let us know if you have any troubles. Very, very sorry about that. We had a couple of comments and couldn't figure it out because for us it looked like it was working. From Edgard Varisi in the forum, I find it a bit odd that you state it is great that former President Edward Shevardnadze is not in jail and living at home in Georgia. In any civilized country, someone who contributed so much to the decline of Georgian civilization, economy, and culture and well-being would have been dealt with as they did in Romania with Ceausescu. How can someone who did so much damage to generations of Georgians be allowed to live as the wise old man of Georgian politics? Sums up the major problems of the country, acceptance of the criminal attitudes and their passions for strongmen. That is a very interesting point that I disagree with. Ceausescu was in power, was a scuzzy dictator, and officers were bidding on being in the firing squad that fired pretty early so they could get in the first shot. Shevardnadze, remember, was the foreign minister of the Soviet Union, although he had been head of the Communist Party in Georgia for a long time, and he was gone. And Georgia was a basket case. They'd had the Tbilisi War. This was when Gamze Hurdia was moving west. I mean, when Georgia, when Shevardnadze came back to Georgia in 92, it was a real mess. And one could argue persuasively that he pacified Georgia. The way he pacified Georgia was by handing out chunks of the economy and the geography to various individuals, although Gamze Hurdia was the one who appointed Abashidze and Ajada. But Georgia, at least by the time I showed up in early 1997, was a relatively calm place. It was very corrupt and became more corrupt. And so you could make, you could argue that was his fault. But I think the fact that there is such institutional strength that Georgia can have someone like that living in the country outside of jail says something good about Georgia's ability to have a transition compared to other countries in the neighborhood where there has been no transition. Now, he's not really the wise old man of Georgian politics. He gives interviews, but he doesn't have a heck of a lot of money. I mean, he's really quite old right now and has no political power. We had a shout out from Simon for the plucky rice growers. We wish them all luck. Here's one question we were posed via email. Quote, "The only thing I'd like to hear your take on is how Can Georgia and Moldova learn from both Ukraine and Armenia as they approach the formal actual signing of the accession agreement in coming months after Vilnius? We are about to see some intense pressure from Moscow. Also, what can the EU and US do to help constructively? End quote. A very good question. I suspect the fact that the Kremlin-positioned candidate Nino Bourgenadze did badly in the elections helped Georgia. Not having a Russian border has helped Moldova. The main problem right now, in my view, is that USAID spends most of its monies in ways that don't, in my view, do much, really, for anything, including institution building, which is their large goal. Happy for any pushback on this. I just don't think that the funds achieve much. I think the EU does better, but the EU still spends most of its time on institution building, and again, which is okay, but it doesn't. It's not involved with the hearts and minds and the culture war, and I think that that's important. As those who listen to the show know, I worry about the framing of Georgian traditions and the Orthodox Church against sort of Western interference, and I think that the West is simply not engaging in that discussion. Better to have money spent on vastly increasing scholarships for people from Georgia to study abroad in Europe and the U.S., which is something, by the way, that Misha said, as I mentioned, he wishes he had spent his money on instead of weapon systems. And also to increase funds to programs like the Peace Corps and other similar European programs that bring young people, young Europeans to Georgia. These programs take a long time to have results, but they are the ones that will bring Georgia closer to the West. If you'd like to comment on the blog or ask a question, go to tapilpod.com or send us an email at tapilpod@gmail.com. On the 28th of November, Georgia initiated the EU Association Agreement in Vilnius. The process took place behind closed doors at the Lithuanian Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Deputy Foreign Minister of Affairs of Georgia, Dato Zalikiani, and Deputy Economy Minister Misha Janilidze initialed each page of the 1,000-page document. Zalikiani commented afterwards that it was a historic day for Georgia and evidence that European integration is irreversible. On the 29th of November, there will be a festive ceremony for the initialing of the agreement. In addition, Foreign Minister Maya Panchakidze and the EU High Representative of Foreign Security Affairs Catherine Ashton will initiate the political part of the agreement. Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty claims that the EU weakened the actual text of the association agreement by removing Article 49, which would have allowed Georgia and Moldova to apply for EU membership if they, quote, respect the fundamental values of the EU, end quote. The draft document instead mentions that, quote, the participants of the Vilnius summit reaffirm the acknowledgement of the European aspirations and European choice of some partners and their commitment to build deep and sustainable democracy, end quote. Panchakidze responded by saying, quote, it is normal and nobody expected that the document would say that Georgia will become an EU member. The creation of Eastern Partnership in 2009 didn't mean and didn't say anywhere that the final goal would be EU membership. It always emphasized the fact that it doesn't mean that, for example, Georgia will become an EU member. So I don't see any reason why some articles appearing asking where the 49th article went. It's a big achievement for Georgia if the document would say that the country has EU aspirations. As far as I know, the EU officials didn't want to write anything like that, but only that Georgia is an Eastern European country, end quote. This is kind of true. Everybody knows, but can't say, that this document is a step, and a very important step, towards the long road to EU membership for Georgia, which will likely take several decades. That doesn't mean it's not going to happen, but they want to sort of leave it up to Georgia and see how long Georgia's commitment lasts through various governments. On the 22nd of November, Georgian Dream named Dato Narmania as their candidate for Tbilisi mayor elections in May 2014. Narmania, who is a PhD in economics, is currently Minister of Regional Development. Before this, he was a full professor at Tbilisi State University. BI appointed him to his current post in October 2012. The current mayor of Tbilisi, Gigi Ugulava, was elected in the local elections 2010, most recently. Tbilisi is the only city in Georgia where the mayor is directly elected, but the government is working on a package for other local governments to have direct elections too. Ugulava alleges that Narmania's ministry stopped financially supporting infrastructure projects in Tbilisi, including the construction of a bridge between Gelovani Street and Samtredia Street. Armenia responded that the ministry only stopped the construction of that bridge after Tbilisi City Hall told them to stop financing it. Ugulava disagrees, saying that the city forwarded a letter from residents of Samtredia Street to the ministry for an official response. They didn't suggest the ministry abolish the project. Ugulava claims that Narmania reduced City Hall's budget for development projects by 50 million lari. Narmania has not responded directly to this claim, but on the 26th of November, Narmania accused Tbilisi City Hall of being responsible for problems in the city, like the Baratashvili Bridge, which he claims is in poor condition. Believe me, I've walked the Baratashvili Bridge, and it's in very poor condition. Somebody tried to walk from the Justice House to Gabriadze's place one day and, you know, tell me how it smells. However, he expressed his readiness to debate with the mayoral candidates, but Narmania said that he's busy and can't do a regular debate. However, he expressed his, a debate with Ugulava. Dato Bakradze stated that they plan to reveal the candidate for Tbilisi mayor via primaries, as they did in the presidential elections. So my take on Narmania, he's a nice guy, not great English, not a compelling or charismatic individual, but he's the one who's charged with organizing Georgia's local government arrangements, and he has some arrangements. I don't know enough about them to really comment, but they seem pretty good. Certainly a heck of a lot better than anything that's happened in Georgia today. On those grounds, it's good that he's being this candidacy because it will increase the likelihood that a real local government law will be passed, which means elections for mayors, hopefully as direct elections, but also has to do with the formulaic transfers. Under Misha, it was the regional governors that were powerful. Unfortunately, the regional governor institution seems to be sticking around. UNM did not want to decentralize, and even though Misha committed in his new wave of democracy speech to the UN General Assembly that mayors would be elected, the UNM sadly went back on that deal and did not want directly elected mayors or that degree of social control. So we'll see what this new government comes up with. On the 21st of November, the former Prime Minister B.I. released an open letter in English where he addressed questions that he will continue to govern the country from behind the scenes. He said, quote, "Since the day I entered politics, many absurd accusations were made against me, from being a Kremlin agent to distributing refrigerators for election purposes, not to mention the slanderous statements that I came into politics to save my fortune or to come into possession of large hydroelectric stations. And now, after having already left politics, I would like to respond to this final nonsense suggesting that I intend to govern the country from behind the scenes and influence the government. And when referring to influence, unfortunately, only its negative context is usually implied. From now on, I will be an active member of our society. My activities will be absolutely transparent." End quote. The World Jurist Association awarded B.I. the Supreme Order of Justice. The award is given once a year to one person and one cleric for their work for peace and justice. The association was founded in 1963 as a non-governmental organization with a special consultative status at the UN Economic and Social Council. Patat Snobiladze is the first vice president of the association. Previous recipients of the award include Pope John Paul II and the Queen of England. Nobody I know has ever heard of this entity. On the 24th of November, Georgian Dream held a party congress at Expo Georgia where they elected their party board. According to the new charter, the party reduced the number of board members from 21 to 12. As we mentioned last week, the current members are, and this is important, listen carefully, Kahi Kaladze, Nodar Khaduri, Irina Imerleshvili, Gia Volsky, Manana Kobachidze, Eka Baselia, Dato Saganalidze, Tamas Avdaliani, Irakli Tripolsky, Temur Chukwaseli, Irakli Sesiashvili, and Armaz Akhvlediani. Kaladze became the party secretary general, and Kharibashvili became chairman. On the 21st of November, Kharibashvili officially appointed Otar Patskhrishvili as chief prosecutor. As a reminder, the former chief prosecutor, Archil Kvilashvili, announced his resignation 2 weeks ago because of differences, though not strategic differences, only tactical differences, with Kharibashvili and BI. Deputy chief prosecutor and Richelieu Lasha Natsvilishvili resigned after Patskhrishvili's appointment. His replacement is Irakli Shotadze. Shotadze was in the finance ministry's investigation service together with Partskhaladze. Word is that Natsirashvili will head the Chamber of Control, which is a very bad thing. Main division of the Ministry of Internal Affairs. Dalikashvili was born in 1982 and has a wife and three kids. That's all we know. He was formerly the assistant of the now Interior Minister, Aliko Chkheidze, who Gharibashvili appointed to his old post as Minister of Internal Affairs. Following up on last week's story, on the 21st of November, Margvelashvili officially appointed Georgian Dream lawmaker Irina Imerelashvili as head of the National Security Council. Giga Bokeria held this position until President Margvelashvili was sworn in. Imerelashvili was a parliamentary staffer from 1993 until 2000, when she was appointed Deputy Justice Minister. She served as Deputy Justice Minister until 2003, meaning she served under Misha when he was Justice Minister under Shevardnadze between 2000 and 2001. 2006, Imerelashvili joined the Republican Party. She became a Member of Parliament on October 2012 through the Georgian Dream Coalition's party list. With Imerelashvili's appointment as the NSC head, she now has to quit the Parliament, where she is chairperson of the Committee for Procedures and Rules. Georgian Dream MP Gio Kakhaliani is expected to replace her as chair of the parliamentary committee. As expected, President Margvelashvili appointed Vano Machavadiani as his foreign policy advisor. Machavadiani was Georgia's first ambassador to Japan, 2007-2009. He also served as deputy CEO of the Partnership Fund in 2011 and 12. Machavadiani, who lectures at JIPA, where Margvelashvili was rector, advised Margvelashvili on foreign policy issues during his presidential campaign. His brother is Misha Machavadiani, the UNM lawmaker and the party's acting secretary general. He is a longtime friend of Margvelashvili's. And his wife is American, by the way. Member of Parliament Zakaria Kutsunashvili resigned from his position as chairperson of the Parliament's Interfactional Working Group on Electoral Issues. The MP made no comments as to his motive. It is not yet known who will replace Kutsunashvili. As a reminder, he also resigned from being chairperson of the Georgian Dream faction in Parliament. Member of Parliament Gia Gachichiladze announced his defecting from the parliamentary majority. He's the leader of the Green Party, founded in 1998. He said he will explain his motives at a press conference in mid-December. Ooh. The government submitted a list of ambassadorial nominees to the president for approval after the new constitution went into force on the 17th of November. The president has the right to appoint or dismiss ambassadors based on the government's recommendation. Approval from the parliament is no longer required. Aliko Eliashvili, the well-known journalist, will replace Elena Tevdoradze as chair of the Presidential Pardon Commission, a post which she held for 10 years. Margvelashvili appointed new commission members, including public defender Uchu Nanuashvili, Eke Gigaudi, director of the hardest-working NGO in the Caucasus, TI Georgia, Zviad Koridze, former head of TV9's information service, Metropolitan Bishop Theodore Chuadze, psychologist Chair Thea Gogitashvili, lawyer and head of human rights priority Leah Mukhashavria, writer Basa Janikashvili, poet Givi Sharnazari, writer Kote Jandieri, and former head of Gaila Tamar Chidasheli, of the Georgian Young Lawyers, Tamar Chidasheli. Margvelashvili says he selected these members because Georgians trust them and they are not affiliated with any political faction. On the 26th of November, Russian troops resumed putting up barbed wire in the village of Dvani, which they suspended 2 months ago. On the 25th of November, they put up a sign near the village of Roreti indicating the ABL in both Georgian and English. U.S. Ambassador Richard Norland commented that it is not the time to erect artificial barriers and to draw borders between peoples. According to Minister of Foreign Affairs Maya Panchakidze, Russia continues to provoke Georgia. She said these illegal Russian activities may continue, but Georgian government won't yield to provocations and won't escalate the situation. According to the Russian BBC, Chechens living in Georgia are fighting against President Bashar al-Assad's regime in Syria. According to Umar Idgarov, a representative of the Chechen diaspora in Georgia, about 200 Chechens have taken part in the Syrian civil war. In the Russian article, one of the Chechen fighters says that we are ashamed that we are going to Syria while the Caucasus is still occupied, but the young will get back after undergoing this training course in Syria. One of my friends returned to the mountain soon after learning to make an explosive device. Our fight benefits Emirat Kavkaz, the Muslim Caucasus, since it creates real prepared fighters. End quote. From the 1st of January, Switzerland will simplify visa rules for Georgian citizens. Georgian citizens will have a shorter processing time and pay a smaller visa fee. Also, it will be easier for them to get multiple entry visas. On the 26th of November, U.S. Ambassador Richard Norlin opened an elementary school that was bombed during the Russian invasion in 2008. The U.S. and Europe financed the construction of the building. Norlin stated that this is part of the overall U.S. commitment to help Georgia restore its sovereignty and full territorial integrity and to help with humanitarian issues which are so urgent along the administrative boundary lines as people are artificially separated from their neighbors and their friends. The new school, which is located 5 kilometers from South Ossetia from the conflict zone, is designated to teach 90 students. One of the leaders of the Citizens Union of Georgia, former chair of the Economic Policy Committee of the Georgian Parliament between 2004 and 2008, and former mayor of Tbilisi between 1993 and 1995, Niko Lekeshvili, stated that he is going to return to politics. Lekeshvili said on Maestro TV that if the Georgian Dream proposes he re-enters politics, he will cooperate with them. Minister of Reintegration Pata Zakarashvili stated that he will establish an interstate agency commission to address misunderstandings between the government and religious groups other than the Georgian Orthodox Church. The commission will unite officials from a number of ministries, including the Ministry of Justice, Education, Internal Affairs, Economy, Culture, as well as state ministries for integration. European Integration and Diaspora. Zakarashvili said the commission will address issues such as defining the legal rules of religious buildings. According to the Agriculture Ministry of Ajada, Georgia will export citrus to Russia through Novorossiysk. He added that 300,000 packages are packed every day in Kobuleti and Khelvachaudi municipalities. Georgia exports citrus fruits to Russia, Ukraine, Uzbekistan, Armenia, Azerbaijan, Belarus, and Kazakhstan. Beginning the 28th of November, socially vulnerable people will be able to travel on minibuses for half the price. Tbilisi City Hall's 2013 budget includes 300,000 lari to subsidize this transport by 50%. I assume that's 2014 budget. Sorry. On the 22nd of November, the president's official webpage, president.gov.ge, was completely revised. Everything Misha put on the website was deleted. The archive goes only back to the 17th of November, 2013, when Mark Velashvili became president. The site has information about Mark Velashvili's career, education, background, qualifications, even his personal life, about which there's much discussion. According to the web page, in his spare time, he enjoys hiking, tai chi, horseback riding, and spending time with friends at his country house in Dushetti. UNESCO placed the 100-year anniversary of the death of Georgian big shot Akaki Tsereteli on the list of important events in 2014-2015. The date will be marked in 2015 with the support and participation of UNESCO. No specifics have been planned so far. On the 23rd of November, the Orthodox Church celebrated St. George's Day. Georgians also celebrated St. George's twice a year on the 23rd of November and the 6th of May. That was also the 10th anniversary of the Rose Revolution, but not a heck of a lot of celebration, certainly officially sanctioned celebration. In parliamentary news, the Interior Ministry proposed draft legislation that would ban carrying knives and swords in public. The first offense would be punished by a 200 lari fine. Repeat offenders would have to pay 1,000 lari or do 15 days community service. However, there's a dispute within the ministry over this proposal. Deputy Minister Levan Izoria predictably said that prohibiting the sword of the national dress would not be compatible with Georgian traditions. The ministry put forward this legislation after a violent incident a few days ago. Two drunk men dressed in chokhas got into an argument with two brothers before drawing swords on them and injuring them at Pushkin Square. Parliament's Environment Committee proposed granting Pshavi Chevsureti region regional status as a protected area. According to the committee chair, Georgi Tsagadashvili, Georgia received a 9 million euro grant from a German partner. If the region is made into a protected area, there'd be about 50 additional jobs. Parliament began discussing a new bill about the status of IDPs. The bill would increase the monthly allowance for IDPs to 45 lari, and it would introduce an income threshold as a criterion for eligibility for the allowance. IDPs with a taxable income of 1,250 lari or more per month will no longer be eligible. Currently, all IDPs get this allowance. Those who live in the collective state-owned centers receive 22 lari monthly from the state, and those living in private accommodations, 28 lari. About 80% of IDPs live in private accommodations. Currently, the state allocates funds to partially cover IDP family utility bills for those living in collective centers. Those in private accommodations are not eligible for this. Currently, newborns who have at least one parent that's an IDP automatically get this status and are therefore eligible for this monthly allowance. According to the proposed bill, starting from the 1st of March 2014, a newborn who has at least one parent that is an IDP will still receive the same status, but will no longer be eligible for allowances. Parliament is discussing a draft law about cultural heritage, which may remove the protected status of 6,300 historical sites. Among the sites are Borjomi Park in southern Georgia, the Romanov Palace in Abastumani, as well as Nadikala Castle, the opera, the Rustaveli Theater, and Marjanashvili Theater in Tbilisi. Meme this week is a new video featuring pianist Khatia Bunitashvili. It was posted on Misha's Facebook page. The video includes shots of the pianist playing music, interspliced with footage of Misha's presidential term. Shooting the video was the reason UNM's four-heart flag was hoisted over the president's residence. This will be posted on the forum, and this time it will work. If not, please tell us. Things to read. An article by Judy Dempsey on Carnegie Europe about the Vilnius Summit. An article by Jackson Deal, who's a big Misha fan, in the Washington Post about the reasons why Misha's out of the country after he finished his presidential term. Basically, that if he goes back to Georgia and is arrested, it'll be a big mess for Georgia. A video by NMAP, produced in collaboration with TI Georgia, discussing violations of the rights of property in Georgia. Article, again, by TI Georgia about the new co-investment fund. Articles by George Lominadze about Georgian protests against the practice of mass roundup for drug tests. Article by Gia Nodia about the new Georgian movie In Bloom. All these things to read will be posted in our forum, we promise. This week's GeoCapital number is 0.2%, which is the percentage of Georgian prisoners as a percentage of Georgia's total population, which is now somewhat normal, unlike before. According to the prisons ministry's August report, the total number of inmates is 8,900. 300 of these are female inmates, the rest are male. During the same period last year, Georgia had 22,730 prisoners. According to the National Prison Administration in Russia, the number of inmates as a percentage of the population there is 0.48. According to the Council of Europe, annual penal statistics, Armenia and Azerbaijan have incarceration of 0.16 and 0.14, respectively. Azerbaijan has twice the percentage of Georgia and three times that of Armenia. This week's English language movie at the Rustaveli Theater across from Parliament is Thor: The Dark World on the Saturday, the 30th of November, 3:30. On the 29th of November, the Riffer Bar will host a new band, Lady Heroine, with their new album, Rise and Shine. Price is 10 lari. Address is number 28 Rustaveli Avenue. For additional details, visit facebook.com/rifferbar, R-I-F-F-E-R-B-A-R. From the 28th till the 30th of November, you can check out an exhibition of international products in Tbilisi. More than 20,000 items, including light, clothing, perfume, furniture from China, Korea, and the Emirates, will be on display. Scarlet Sales, is in what was once known as George Bush's Blue Building, is now under new management and called the Royal Sales. Very lively, with live music on weekends. Stop by. It's at 25 Les Elize, next to the Shemoiche de Genetzvale. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email address is tbilpod@gmail.com, or post to the forum on our website at www.tbilpod.com. And we will finish with a 1965 cover from the excellent Canadian band The Guess Who. This is Shaken All Over.
shaking all over. Shaking all over.